Hey, gang, we're here. We're actually here. Never fear. It's an hour late. I know I said this on the Friday show, and if you missed the Friday show, you might have missed the beginning of the Monday show. But yes, there has been a schedule change. We are in our new time slot. It's supposed to be a better time slot. And, you know, we at the Co-Certified Studios are willing to do whatever, to do whatever is necessary. But this is supposed to be a good time slot, and it works well for Mark Collette. Mark, get a good workout.
Hello, Patrick. But yeah, no troubles getting home today because it's an hour later, so it works out well for me. I hope they've moved us to this slot because it's a better slot, and we're now drawing in the premium audiences that we deserve.
That's right, and you get an extra hour to lift weights, right? To
hit the gym, come home, grab a shower, have my dinner, really good timing, and then settle in for a nice hour-long chat with you, Patrick. That is the perfect evening.
Okay, and so you had your dinner.
I did.
Bit down some, biting your food, I take it. But not biting toddlers, right? Because
No toddlers were bitten in the preparation or consumption of my dinner.
unlike the toddler centers, the daycare centers in your country, right, where there is a bit of biting of toddlers that goes on.
Yes. Well, you're obviously referencing my latest podcast, which
I'm trying to find a segue. Yes.
Very. In fact, it has been seen by in excess of 250,000 people in the last 3 days.
Wow.
So I'm very happy with that. And it's obviously on the topic that we are discussing now. And that is, for your audience, if they haven't watched it, and they should, my name's Mark Collette, spelled C-O-L-L-E-T-T. That's for the new listeners we'll have at this new better time.
And we are apparently already above our usual numbers.
Excellent. Well, these new listeners, they can go to my YouTube where they can find me. They can search me on there and they can watch the video. It's called Toddler Bitten 15 Times by Somalians at Play Center. And the title is very descriptive, very indicative of the story. But you see, like with all of these stories, there's a twist, there's something deeper. You see, just reporting, just doing a 14, 15-minute video on a toddler being bitten by Somalians, you know, that would tell a story, a very worrying story, a story of how mass immigration isn't working, a story of how the indigenous people of this country are under threat from migrants or newly arrived migrants. Specifically, these ones in this case were, you know, Africans. The mother claimed they were Somalians. And that is a story in itself and a story that should worry and concern parents all over the UK. But that's not the only story. There's a story behind the story, and that is that the mainstream media, the fake news media and the lying press, they have omitted several facts from the reporting of this story. They've tried to cover things up, and they didn't let the story run for very long. You think a toddler, at 17 months old, she is, her name's Willow Ivy Doherty. She was bitten 15 times to the face, head, back, neck, fingers, arms. She was bitten all over. Bitten all over. Absolutely savage. Her own mother said it looked more like a dog had savaged her than it did look like children. And eventually, when the two children, it was two of them, a three-year-old and a six-year-old, were dragged off Willow Ivy, one of the children stood there with blood all around his mouth, just grinning, just smiling insanely. And when the children's mother was confronted, the mother just kept shouting, it's what they do, it's what they do, it's what children do, it's what kids do. That's all she kept shouting. Well, that's very indicative of the mentality of these people and the way these children were raised. But despite the mother of Willow Ivy posting on Facebook saying it was Somalian, her child was attacked by these children of African descent, all of the papers, all of the lying press publications that covered this omitted the ethnicity of the attackers. And to paraphrase Ann Coulter, the longer you go without being told the race of the attacker, the more likely it is that the attacker isn't of European descent. And this is obviously the case. But the next thing the press did was the press buried this story. Now, no major broadcaster in the UK, not ITV, not Channel 4, not the BBC, not Sky, none of the cable channels, none of them picked up on this horrific story. This was just a non-story. And the press that ran the story quickly buried it. Only one paper did a follow-up story. All the other papers dropped it after one story, after being reported just once. And that, again, very, very, very telling, because this is a real, real heartbreaking story. This is a story that tugs on your heartstrings. It makes you want to know what happened to the little girl, because it was also reported that the doctors said that she would be scarred for life, that she would need plastic surgery, that she'd need skin grafts, that, you know, this girl's going to go through hell after this just to repair the damage, because the damage they did to her cheek, they actually bit a chunk out of her cheek. This isn't...
It's just what they do.
Just what they do. And that's the thing.
That's celebration of diversity.
Exactly. And her cheek is missing. This. It looks like she's been... To me, it didn't look like a dog attack. It looked like something from The Walking Dead. It looked like a zombie had bitten somebody and just torn a chunk of flesh. And this little girl is going to bear the scars of this for the rest of her life. But the problem you've got here is the media. They omitted the facts. They either didn't cover the story or they buried the story. And they refused to quote the mother on the ethnicity of the attackers. And one thing they said, though, in all the articles, one thing they said that was very, very telling and really backed up what the mother had said was Willow Ivy was treated straight away, rushed to hospital, obviously, but she was treated straight away for hepatitis B. And that's very telling, because hepatitis B in the UK and the US has a rate of less than 1% infection, which is usually confined to newly arrived migrants, drug users, homosexuals, or people who work in the sex industry. Now, the places our NHS website warns have high infection rates, or people who are on the high-risk category, are people who visit Africa, or people who adopt or foster children from Africa. So, and in Africa, up to 10% of the population have a chronic infection, and 30%, or a third, sorry, of the population as a whole suffers from an infection at some point or another in their lives. So this really does point to the fact that what the mother was saying was correct, because when the doctors found out she'd been bitten and they were told she was bitten by Africans, that was when, you know, they gave her the hepatitis B injection. And it really does back all this up. But this just shows how the press and the media are really, really very, very two-faced, because I asked at the end of my video if people would take a moment to imagine what would happen if the races in this case were flipped, if the ethnicities were reversed, so you had a black little girl being savaged by two white brothers. And I said that it would have been front page news all over the world. The whole world would have known about this. There'd have been fundraisers set up. The parents of the two boys would have been thoroughly investigated. Their past would have been dug up. They'd have been doorstepped. They'd have been photographed by the press. And everything about them would have been gone through with a fine-tooth comb. Yet, in this case, there was none of that. No fundraisers. No one having their past dredged up. The mother wasn't looked into. She wasn't doorstepped. No one went through her previous history. No one looked up her social media profiles to see what kind of parent she was or how she'd brought up her children. It was all quietly covered up. And not once did the mainstream media mention a name, a description, anything that could identify the two children or the parent of those two children. And I think, well, I'm not, I don't think, I know that the anti-white lying press does this to push their anti-white agenda. And if you compare that case, which is what I'll be doing this week on my podcast, with the case of the Syrian boy that we've all heard of, who was apparently bullied at his school, who they raised £135,000 for just because somebody tipped a bottle of water over his head in the playground, you can see that there is clearly a double standard that is enforced to the nth degree. So if a little boy, well, it's not a little boy, it's a teen boy, gets a bottle of water poured over his head in the playground, it's front page news, the whole world knows about it, the Prime Minister's talking about it on television, it is the biggest news story the world over. But, if a little girl gets savagely bitten and needs basically plastic surgery and skin grafts because she's been scarred for life, that story is buried. And there's one way to sum this up. There's one way that we can sort of really put a fine point on this. This is anti-white hatred. This is an agenda designed to make white people hate themselves, to promote white guilt, and to ensure that white people do not become any more awoken about issues to do with multiculturalism and mass immigration. Because let's face it, who wants their child savaged in that manner? Who wants to expose their wonderful, beautiful progeny to that kind of menace? No one. So that is why the mainstream media, because mainstream media hates us, that's why they do not want to publicize the truth about this case, because they are scared. They know that multiculturalism isn't working. They know mass immigration brings these problems to this country, to Europe, to nations that were founded by Europeans. So they want to protect those people. And they do so by omitting important information, burying stories, and even outright lying to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're in a very precarious position. And I think of what the media does as working kind of like a dam or a dike. They're holding back water. That's what a dam or a dike does. There's water at a higher level than, you know, on one side of the wall than on the other side of the wall. And, of course, that water is exerting pressure. And the dike or dam has to be strong. And there's, I think, more and more pressure on the other side of the wall, the pressure coming from reality, the pressure coming from the fact that, for instance, in the United States, and it would be similar in the United Kingdom, that, you know, anybody, not anybody, but most people below the age of 60 would have gone to schools that had been, you know, post-desegregation and would have, you know, compared to 100 years prior, people are much more likely to have had, a lot of contact with blacks, especially in grade school. And in grade school, I guess a lot of natural behavioral tendencies come out. And so many people have personal experiences of being bullied by blacks. So many people have personal experience of having been, you know, robbed or been victimized by black criminals. And yet the media has this giant wall of deception in order to convince at least probably just a minority, but a big enough minority of whites to accept this line that whites are oppressing blacks and white racism is the problem. I think it's probably just a minority, because I think probably the bulk of white people don't buy it fully, not hook, line, and sinker, maybe partially. And I think they're in such a precarious position. And so the type of videos that you put out, and which with a reach, this is over 250,000 views in just a few days. This chips away, and what can they do? It's not just our narrative against their narrative. It's their narrative against the reality that most people have experienced, yet they're repressing their experiences. They're repressing their own knowledge. And so the work that you do, for instance, with these videos, it's not just creating a narrative, but it's leveraging the experiences, life experiences that people have. And that gives it an awful lot of power.
Well, thank you.
See what I mean?
It's not just my videos, though. It's
not
all
just
of
yours,
us.
But I mean, I'm using you as an example because you're my guest.
I mean, I'll say this, though, Patrick. The important thing, and the way to undo the power of the mainstream media, the way to undo the power of the fake news media, it's actually to point out these hypocrisies. It's to talk about the hypocrisy that the media sort of deals in, because that hypocrisy appalls the public. And if you look at any successful revolutionary movement, any movement that successfully woke up a large number of people and ended up going on to take power, those movements all have to do several things. Firstly, they have to build on an injustice. There always has to be an injustice. And that injustice has to be something that motivates people. So it can't just be an injustice. There has to be an injustice, and there has to be an emotional punch to that injustice. So we've talked here about the injustice of the hypocrisy, the injustice of a story being covered, you know, a thousand times over by, you know, maybe more than a thousand times over by a huge number of press outlets, by a huge number of broadcasters, by different blogs. It's been commented on by celebrities and politicians and really anyone who wants to virtue signal on social media. And then we've talked about another story that has had the very opposite of that. But it's not just showing that hypocrisy. It's showing the emotional punch of that hypocrisy. And in this case, we have a 17-month-old baby girl who has been brutally attacked and disfigured, scarred for life, in fact. And that is the emotional punch. So by exposing these injustices and by doing so in an emotive and, well, really in a way that motivates our people, not just from a factual point of view, not just with dry facts, but with actual feelings, with actual heart and soul and spirit, that is something that gets people off the couch. That's something that gets people listening, that gets people talking, that promotes discussion, that promotes discourse. And that's what we need to do, because we can make the fake news media and the lying press redundant. And there's never been a better time in history to do this. Post-Second World War, there's never been a lower level of belief in the press, in the media, than there has now. And largely, a lot of that is thanks to Donald Trump. Obviously, Donald Trump has been there.
And we are coming up on our break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio. I don't know if I mentioned that. National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Patrick Slattery. I don't know if I mentioned that for our new listeners, Patrick Slattery. And I'm here with Mark Collett from Great Britain, whom I have on every Monday at this hour. And you were in the middle of saying something. I don't want to interrupt your thought. I have some thoughts too.
No, we've said this before, but I'm going to shoot with it anyway, that, you know, in this climate that we're living in now, we've never had such a good chance to defeat the mainstream media, because Donald Trump's really set us up. And when I say set us up, I don't mean set us up in a bad way. I mean, he set us up in a great way. He set us up to defeat these people. He set us up in a position where we can actually get the better of these people. You know, he's undermined people's faith in the media. And now you have roughly half the people in the Western world pretty much distrusting what the mainstream media says. But we know from the actions of our enemies, and there's a lot we can learn from our enemies, because if there's one thing you can say for them, they are clever people. They're not fools. They have got into the position they have. They've got the whip hand over us in many ways by being clever, by planning things, by essentially taking control of key facets of Western society, the media, the banking institutions, finance, campaign finance, lobbying groups. And we know that. So we know that when these people destroy one of our pillars of our society, they always then fill the vacuum they've created with something that they control. So That's very important to know. You know, they create these vacuums by removing positives. Then they fill the vacuum they created with a negative. And that's how they've essentially taken control of our establishment. However, we must learn from that, and we must do the same. When we destroy one of their negatives, we must replace that negative, not with another negative, obviously, but with a positive. So when we destroy the negative, the anti-white mainstream media, we then create a vacuum because people still want news. People still want discussion. They still want opinion. They still want to hear different points of view on different topics. And that's completely understandable. You know, that's obviously what people will want. We have to then build this alternate media, which we are both part of. I mean, you've got this excellent radio show here tonight, which I'm always very, very proud to be a guest on. I have my YouTube channel. I release numerous bits and pieces each week. I appear with David Duke on a Friday. He's got his own radio show. And we need to use these alternative shows, this YouTube, social media, and we need to build our own network of publishing so that when these people, when our enemies, that is, when our enemies essentially lose control, when we remove their negative, we fill the vacuum with a positive. So people are getting the truth. They're getting red-pilled. They're understanding the threat that we as Europeans face. And that is what we can do. And that is what we must do. So it's not enough just to expose these people. It isn't enough just to talk about the issues at hand and to undermine the lies put forward by the mainstream media. But we also must build a resistance. We must build an alternative. And then we must use that alternative to engage with our people, so that eventually we can build a grassroots movement with a revolutionary mindset that can work to eventually destroy this anti-white establishment and get the West back on track.
You know, I made the dam analogy earlier, and of course, a dam can't just, sometimes they just get washed away all at once. But other times you get leaks, or you know, think of the little Dutch boy sticking his thumb in the dike in that old story, and you get a leak, and then the leak grows, and then other leaks spring up, and that's where I think we are right now. It used to be, say 30 years ago, much easier for them to control the narrative because there were so few ways around the three networks, the two major press wires, and you know, some major newspapers. There were fewer ways around it. A few big magazines. There just weren't ways around it. And of course, we do have that way around it with the internet. Although, you know, one point I like to make is that the internet, they can find ways to shut us down too. But for now though, we seem to be having a lot of success, and we're seeing these news channels on YouTube and elsewhere grow, sometimes exponentially. A couple of weeks ago on your weekly podcast, you had a young woman on. I'm sorry, I forgot her name, but her YouTube subscribership increased by about 20% during the show, right? That was kind of fun. Okay, we'll be back right after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Okay, we are back. Smoke People Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Collett of Great Britain. And we were talking during the break, and Mark noted I don't engage in boomer bashing. Of course, I'm a boomer myself, but I was just thinking, I was at a Christmas party not too long ago, a few days ago, and I was sitting at a table with six people who would probably be misidentified as boomers. But, you know, they're all in their 80s. And newsflash, somebody who was born in the 1930s is not a boomer. The baby boom didn't start until 1946. But basically anybody older than Donald Trump is not a boomer. But I was talking to them, and they I mentioned, you know, some of the things I do. And, you know, talking about the news and my writing and all. And I said, of course, because people don't, you know, so many people don't know anything about what's going on except what they hear through the mainstream media. And they said, the fake news, the fake news. All six of them were saying it's so fake. And I wanted to say, yes, fake and gay, but I wasn't sure if they would get the meme, fake and gay, because that's kind of a young thing. But people are getting it. People, what I say is, I don't think people necessarily understand what's going on, but what they do understand, and I think what you were referring to earlier, was they know that they're being lied to. They know that what they hear in the mainstream media is not right. They might not know what's going on, but they know something's wrong.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I always find it very heartening, you see, because at one point you tend to have kind of a disengagement from older people, because older people, they didn't grow up with YouTube, they didn't grow up with the internet, they didn't grow up with WhatsApp and Facebook, and they didn't grow up with smartphones and instant ways to connect to each other. You know, if they wanted to go and see a friend, they would either have to ask their parents to use the phone, or they'd get on their bike and they'd cycle over and see their friend, you know, and that was how things were done. And I sometimes find that people from that generation, they are more invested in traditional means of, you know, informational, you know, or sort of disseminating information, for want of a better phrase. And these people, I always get a lot out of it when these people turn to me, turn to us and turn to sort of our, you know, message, and they look at us and they discover us, and then they turn against the traditional media. Because if they can do it, there's real hope for every generation. Because if they can do it, and they were brought up, because those people were brought up not so much to question things, you know, to believe in the media, to believe that the guy sat behind the news desk was a real, you know, sort of truth teller, almost like an American hero. He was the guy there, you know, the straight-laced, well-dressed, polite guy who was there, and all he had was to give you was the truth. And for these people to turn their back on that and to re-educate themselves at their point in life is fantastic. And it gives me great hope, because if they can do it, anyone can do it. If they can see through something that they've been indoctrinated into believing in for their entire life, and they come from this completely different generation where values were different, ideals were different, and as I say, they see through these issues, anyone can. And that means there's great hope for younger generations. So I think the younger generation is generally more skeptical. The younger generation is generally more sort of nervous, or sort of more wary of people lying to them. They're more wary of disinformation. They're more inclined to sort of look into things and the digging. So I think that, as I say, if your older friends can do that, anyone can do that. And that shows that there is great hope for the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those people can change their minds. We can really reach out to literally anyone, which is obviously what we need to do.
Right. I mean, so those people, 80s, maybe one of the women was still in her 70s. She was younger. But you think 50 years ago, 1968, the most trusted man in America, according to surveys, was Walter Cronkite, the anchorman for the CBS News. Now, we used to watch that. We'd watch the CBS News, and at the end of the show, Walter Cronkite would say, "And that's the way it is, Tuesday, November 7th, 1968. And then, without fail, my father would say, "I'm going to get you, Walter Cronkite. One of these days, I'm going to get you." So he was the most trusted man in America, not universally trusted. My father had something, and I'm not even sure it was so much he didn't trust him, but he just didn't like him, because Walter Cronkite read the news. He didn't write his own scripts the way some of the other anchors did. But he was the most trusted man in America. I remember 1980 when John Anderson, who was a Republican presidential candidate, but he dropped out of the Republican primaries and launched an independent bid, which for a while looked like he might be a viable alternative to Carter and Reagan. And he was considering Walter Cronkite as a running mate. And I was very excited by that, not because I liked Walter Cronkite so much, but because he was the most trusted man in America. Everybody knew that. And now, you have, I guess, Lester Holt, who's kind of a light-skinned black on NBC. I'm not sure who does CBS nowadays. Somebody does CBS. These people get very little viewership. And they might be still in the tradition of trying to appear neutral, but the fact that so many people on CNN or MSNBC or even Fox, so many of these anchors make no pretense of being neutral, and so many of them are fake. And in the case of CNN, with the case of Anderson Cooper or Don Lemon or Shepard Smith at Fox, they're fake and gay, literally. I think they brought down the credibility of the entire media. Now, I used to watch the BBC a lot. Who were some of the people on the BBC? I can't remember. There was one blonde lady who was actually originally from South Africa, Caddy something. Do you know what I'm talking about? Caddy something.
But I've not watched the BBC for a long time because for me or for people in the UK, the BBC is the height of fake news. These people are the sort that, I mean, I did it again. Just to interject here slightly, I did a video some while back. It's been put into limited state now about a guy called Matthew Hayden. And Matthew Hayden was brutally, promising young rugby player, and he's 17 years old, brutally attacked by a Muslim gang. And they fractured his skull with a golf club. Now, the BBC buried this as local news and then dropped the story. Now, can you imagine if a gang of whites had attacked a Muslim and with golf clubs and given him a fractured skull and a bleed on the brain? Now, again, another very sad story, because Matthew Hayden was a talented young rugby player. The doctors said that he may never play rugby again because of the injuries caused to him. And he actually had a scholarship that year to an American university, which he had to pass up the offer and not attend this scholarship because of the injuries that were caused to him by this migrant gang. And the BBC, as I said, this wasn't national headlines. There wasn't a massive fundraiser for him. There was no money for Matthew Hayden. He was just buried in a pile of local news as an afterthought. So I am not a huge fan of the BBC.
No. And I was thinking of Caddy Kay, who's kind of a British version of Megyn Kelly. They look kind of similar, kind of, in my view, kind of a little bit creepy, like almost pretty, but not. I'm mistaken. She wasn't born in South Africa. I'm not sure what that connection was. But at any rate, you know, 50 years ago, during the Vietnam War, I remember my brother and my mother getting out a shortwave radio and tuning into the BBC because we thought that the BBC would be more honest news. But it is as fake as they come. And so what is in Britain? To what extent are people just tuning out of the BBC, at least for news? And does the BBC, the fact that it might have, and I don't know if it still does, but in the past, it had a lot of really fun shows to watch, dramas, or I like the comedies. Does that help bolster its news service, or is it as discredited in Britain as, say, CNN is in the United States?
I think the BBC is discredited for several reasons. Firstly, here in the UK, we have something called TV license, which means everyone is forced to pay essentially a tax to the state broadcaster. And that causes much anger because there's a lot of people actually in jail for not paying their TV license. So we're all forced to essentially pay for the BBC's existence. It's not funded via adverts, which is pretty scandalous, really, because it means that they can do whatever they want and they still get their money. And I do to a degree believe in the free market and the fact that, you know, if a channel like Channel 4 or ITV here in the UK decides to spew anti-white garbage, we can at least stop watching. And if we stop watching and their viewing figures drop, that means they don't get as much advertising revenue, which means the shows that aren't bringing in the advertising revenue ultimately have to be dropped. But the BBC doesn't have that pressure, which is extremely puts them in an extremely powerful position, should I say. And another thing about the BBC is they always stack their current affairs shows with rigged audiences. They are known for rigging audiences. So they give out tickets for these shows to specific groups who will solicit the responses they want. And just the other week, they were actually caught out. They had a vicar on one of their panels. And this vicar is actually an actress. She's actually an actress, and the BBC, they caught her out because she'd been actually pictured in other shows. She'd actually been pictured as an extra in other shows, and somebody recognised her. So now you can actually see that the BBC are using stooges, essentially, to make audiences or even to make panelists look the way they want them to look so that they can have the correct, as they see it, or as they call it, political balance on their shows. So they really are the epitome of fake news and mass media brainwashing.
Mm. Okay. Well, let's move on a little bit. So over the weekend, we had this big G20 conference in Argentina, and the leaders of 20 countries and I guess a few organizations, international organizations like the EU, attended. So your zombie corpse of a prime minister would have been there. What's her name? I know her name, Theresa May. I'm just joking there, but she would have been there. And the big news going into the conference was Donald Trump not meeting with Vladimir Putin. And the Russian, I guess the foreign ministry, issued a statement saying, oh, well, it'll give Vladimir Putin more time to have productive meetings. Was this covered much in Britain? No,
this is the first time I've actually heard of this, Patrick.
Okay. And so did you miss Theresa while she was out of your country?
I certainly didn't. I certainly didn't miss her at all. I know that she's been – one thing that was briefly covered is she, again, has been quite rude to Donald Trump about trade, which I find very bizarre because, really, you know, Donald Trump was somebody who said, you know, if I'm president and Britain breaks away from the EU, I'll make sure Britain get a very favorable trade deal. And that's something that you think Theresa May would be mm-hmm. – very grateful for, considering.
And yet she's having so much trouble extracting Britain from the EU.
Well, she's not having trouble. She's sabotaging it. And if you actually look at some of the things that she's put forward as a in this sort of Brexit deal, basically, not only is she giving away $39 billion, but she's also put in something called a backstop. Now, this backstop would essentially mean that if a deal isn't agreed and ratified by the EU, we stay in the EU until a deal can be ratified. Now, that is absolutely shocking, because what that means is we would remain in the EU indefinitely, and this backstop lasts for 99 years, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So we could actually be, if a deal isn't ratified under what she calls her deal. So if the EU refused to ratify the deal that she has tabled, we would be in a situation where we could essentially be held to ransom for 99 years by the EU. And she calls that a good deal. That's the best thing she could thrash out. Well, to me, it's an absolute scandal. It's an absolute joke that she's... she's put this together. It's terrible. But she was always a Remainer anyway. So, and I think, you know, if she left the country and never came back, I don't think anyone would miss that woman. You know, and when I say woman, I mean that, I say that in the loosest possible terms.
Indeed. And how is her position, her political position now? Because, there's been some cabinet defections and there's, with all the trouble she's having, or the open undermining that she's engaging in, there's a possibility that she might be replaced soon. Is that correct?
Well, you see, the problem that we've got is she's always been in a shaky position. And she's in a shaky position because she blew the last general election. So she doesn't actually have a majority in Parliament. And that's the problem. She doesn't have a majority in Parliament. She actually is in a coalition with a much smaller party called the Democratic Unionist Party.
Who and that's operate from Northern Ireland.
Yeah. And it means she doesn't actually have a mandate. You know, she has to get other parties to back her if she wants to pass any form of legislation. And on something like Brexit, that gives her an even shakier ground, because obviously the issue with Brexit is it's an issue that sort of transcends party political boundaries. And because it transcends party political boundaries, many of her own MPs are refusing to back her so-called deal, because it's not really a deal, it's us capitulating. It's more of a capitulation than it is a deal. But because of this, it leaves everyone in a position of complete uncertainty. And that is obviously something which can hit financial markets and actually damage a country financially.
Okay, be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like.
Success. Welcome back to the show, National People Radio, at the new hour, sponsored by Co-Certified, the app. Go to the kosherquestion.com or nationalbugle.com. And so we were talking a little bit about Theresa May and the G20 summit. And of course, one of the headline news was that Trump and Putin didn't meet. That meeting was sabotaged, according to Trump, strictly because the one reason was that the Russian Navy had captured these three boats that had infringed on its territorial waters without having notified the Russian authorities of their, you don't say flight plans, what do you say, navigation plans. They had And it was really a provocation by the Ukrainian government in order to shore itself up in advance of these March elections, but also to sabotage that Trump-Putin meeting. And it was, I thought it was interesting that Trump came out and said that that was the only reason, and that he actually still looks forward to seeing Putin. I feel it was losing to lose that opportunity to have a meeting. Trump needs to have a good relationship with Putin. What do you think of Vladimir Putin? As you know, I'm a pretty big fan.
Yeah, I think he's great. I think he's I think the thing that always impresses me most with him is he stands so much for the traditional family. And that's something that, you know, is constantly under attack. So having a world leader as powerful as him, who stands up for, you know, traditional families and for the mother, the father, you know, and that's really what underpins our entire civilization, the traditional family. And for somebody like him, with his level of power, to stand up for that, it's huge, and it's very important for us. And I think he also genuinely puts the interests of Russia first. And I think that, and again, with the traditional family stuff, he's virulently anti the LGBT agenda. And I think all of those things really set him aside as a great leader, as someone who, strangely enough, can be, you know, trusted to a large degree. And that's why the Western press, that's why the lying press, the fake news media, that's why they hate him so much, because he is pro family values, he's pro the traditional family, he's pro you know, having white babies. And because of that, they hate him, because let's face it, there is a demographic war against whites, and that war in many ways is a war against the traditional family. So anyone that stands in the way of their war against the traditional family, they want to rip down. And boy, do they want to rip him down.
Yeah. And all this anti-Russia-ism in, for instance, in the United States. Well, if you're standing in the United States and you're looking overseas, Russia is the country that has the most white people in it. And isn't it a coincidence that that would be the enemy number one, according to our fake lying Zio media?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly my point. And in Russia, is that the end of the show?
Yeah, but finish your point.
No. We can have that point another night. I just wanted to say thank you for having me on. Love being here at the new time. And for all the new listeners, Patrick joins me every Wednesday on my show This Week on the Alt-Right, which you can find over on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, which is the same hour as this show, but, you know, both of them are on archive, so listen to one live and then go to the other and listen to it on archive on YouTube or on rbn.com. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.